The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. So there's a story about Mother Teresa that I'm going to share with you. It's a beautiful example of a man who was brought out of darkness into the light, just like Matthew talks about in today's gospel. One day in Australia, Mother Teresa visited a poor man that nobody knew existed. The room in which she was living was in a terrible state of untidiness and neglect. There was no light in the room, the curtains were always closed. This man lived in perpetual darkness. And what's worse, he didn't have a friend in the world. Upon entering his room and seeing how messy it was, Mother Teresa immediately started to clean and tidy it up. And at first, the man protested, saying, "Leave it alone, it's all right, as it is, just don't do anything." But Mother Teresa, being who she was, ignored the man and cleaned up anyways. Under a pile of rubbish, she found a beautiful oil lamp, but it was covered in dirt. She cleaned and polished it. Then she asked him, "How come you never light this lamp?" "Why should I light it?" he replied. "No one ever comes to see me, and I don't see anybody." And so she replied, "Will you promise to light it if one of my sisters comes to see you?" "Yes," the man said. "If I hear a human voice, I'll light the lamp." Two of Mother Teresa's nuns began to visit him on a regular basis. And, true to his word, each and every time they came, he lit that lamp. And gradually, things began to improve for him. And then one day, he said to the good nuns, "Sisters, I'll be able to manage on my own from now on. But do me a favor. Tell that first sister who came to see me that the light she lit in my life is still burning." The gospel today tells us that the people to whom Jesus brought his ministry had been sitting in darkness, but that Jesus' coming had brought them a great light. The region Christ finds himself in today's gospel was a war-torn area. It's no coincidence then that Christ had put himself here and used the metaphor of light and darkness. He placed himself among the marginalized, the poor, the peasants, those who had suffered famine and drought, misery, war. And thus he began his ministry among the apparently small and insignificant places and people who nevertheless were central to God's purposes. And this is our call today, to introduce Christ's light into the darkness of our world, wherever we find ourselves. It's our call to shine that light on everyone and everything around us. Just as the apostles were called today in the gospel, so too does Christ call each and every one of us by name to do some good on his behalf. One of the objections I hear often, because I'm the priest and I try and, you know, I tell people what to do sometimes, which maybe not the best idea, but sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But one of the things I try and encourage people to do is, you know, go out and do good, right? You know, the whole gospel thing. But one of the objections I hear when I say that is that people claim that they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to be the light of Christ. They don't know how to live out the gospel. They don't know X, Y, and Z. They're not prepared. They don't have the credentials. They don't have the prerequisites to do all the things that Christ wants them to do. And the list goes on. And so today's gospel is a prime example of why none of their objections matter. Not a single one. If we think of the apostles in the gospel today, they had no skills. Well, they could fish very well. But fishing, throwing a net over the side of a boat in the Sea of Galilee where, you know, quite a few fish, it's a lot different than going and starting churches. It's a lot different than going and preaching. It's a lot different than making disciples of all nations and all peoples. And so what God was calling the apostles to, these simple men, was a lot more than what they were capable of on their own. The same is true for us. God calls us to great things, beautiful, wonderful things. Of course we don't have the prerequisites. Of course we don't have the skill sets. That's irrelevant. Because each and every time God calls us to do something, he's going to give us the grace to do it. He will qualify us for that position that he's calling us to. If you're a parent, I guarantee you, well, maybe a couple exceptions, but most of you were not ready to be a parent when God says, hey, this is your vocation now. You probably felt like, oh no, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably going to end up, I don't know. Because we weren't ready for it. By our human nature, we had nothing preparing us for it. But with God's grace, the kids are here. I see plenty of them, so obviously they're still kicking. But the thing is that your vocation as a parent, God has given you the grace to be able to do that. Same thing with every other vocation, same thing with anything else God calls us to. God gives us the grace to be able to accomplish the tasks he assigns us. The only thing that he asks of us is that we trust him, that we trust that he will get us to where he wants us to go. That if he asks us to do X, Y, and Z, he's going to give us everything necessary to do X, Y, and Z. It requires trust. It requires humility. It requires a littleness about us. It's important to remember at the end, though, my brothers and sisters, that no matter what it is he calls us to, whether it's to be a light to the nations or to maybe be a light to a man that's left alone in his room with darkness and nothing else to light his life, whatever it is he calls us to, all he asks is a little effort on our part. There's trust, but there's also effort. We can't just sit back and like, oh, Jesus will do everything for me. I don't have to lift a finger. No. No, that's not how it works. There's a little bit of effort on our part. Whatever we can give, we give, and God takes care of the rest.